In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, my dear brothers and sisters. One of the exciting challenges I have as a pastor of a congregation is to lead the preschoolers, our 70 daycare students, all preschoolers, in worship on Friday mornings. I'm missing that this morning. That's a favorite time. It's neat to be with the kids as they sing Jesus Loves Me with all that's in them, and for them to praise the Lord as we sing together and as we pray together, and also as we hear God's word. Last Friday, I was talking with them about the leaves and how the leaves are different and how God loves each of us even in our differences. And God really enjoys variety. He enjoys differences in people. I thought I had made the point, so at the end of the lesson, I asked the children, now, why does God love us even when we're different? And all the hands went up, and I felt pretty good about that because they got the main point of my lesson. And the first hand I called on said, God. And the second one said, love. And the third one said, the catch-all answer, Jesus. And the fourth one said, cross. And then I had decided that I hadn't spoken the word very clearly to those little ones. But really, that's it, isn't it? God's love through Jesus' cross. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of all that we do as we study for the ministry, as we study in school, as we learn about God. We see his love for us in Jesus Christ. And that's essentially what's going on here in our text. One of the Pharisees comes to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers him straight out. He answers about love. The basis of our lives as God's people is his love for us. And that's where it all starts. You see, the Pharisee was asking a question about response, but we need to go back to the foundation of our lives as God's people. We see throughout Scripture that God's plan is to send a Savior. That's so familiar. And we see that in the life of Jesus Christ, that promise was fulfilled. We see that on the cross, our sins have been taken away. That's a simple message. But yet we're so often like the people of Israel who rebel, who want to do things our way, who don't want to hear what God's plan is, but yet God is still there reaching out with his hands of love. And our God reaches out to you. He reaches out to you as he reminds you of your baptism, that day on which water and the Word made you his child. That day in which your sins were forgiven. That day in which you became a member of God's family. That day in which God chose you to be his person. That's God's love. God's love comes to us as we study the Word. As we study it individually. As we study it together. As we hear that Word preached. That Word proclaimed to us from the pulpit and in classes. God's love comes to us and the Spirit works on us. And we experience God's love as we receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, for the forgiveness of sins. We thank God for loving us. We thank God for giving us the basis for living. Because that's really what he does for us. God's love for us is total and complete. We have a foundation for our lives. And that's where we start as we look at our text. Because what the Pharisee was asking for was a response. How do we respond? God yearns, first of all, for our love. He wants a relationship with us. That's why he sent Jesus. God yearns for your love. When the Pharisee asked the question, Jesus said, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Luther says it in the meaning to the first commandment. Do you remember what that is? In grade school children, we should what? fear, love, and trust in God above all things. That's right. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. Put me first, God says. That's the greatest response. We often fail to do that, don't we? We justify our self-centered actions and compromise our lives to live the way we think we ought to live them, not the way God invites us to live them. We put ourselves first. That's our natural response. We don't spend time in prayer. We don't spend time studying God's word. For us who are in or preparing for ministry, in a sense, that's one of the most difficult tasks, isn't it? To spend time in God's word and in prayer that's not related to preparing for a Bible class or preparing for a sermon. But it's a time when God speaks to us and comes to us and builds us up. God wants a relationship with him that's a two-way street. He's constantly at work in our lives, molding and shaping us. It's Jeremiah. Remember the prophet? The Lord says to Jeremiah, go and look at the potter. Go and look what the potter is doing with the clay, how he molds and shapes that clay. And then he applies that to the people of Israel who refuse to be molded and shaped by the Lord. But yet, you know, there's an application for our lives. God is at work in our lives each day to mold and to shape us, even through the trials, even through the tough times. God is at work to mold and shape us to be his people as he works with us. And you know, there's a promise that God gives too. It's a promise that he gave to the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah as they entered captivity. You know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And that promise is just as true for you and me as it was for the people of Jeremiah's day. It's all about relationship. God binds himself to us through the cross of his son, Jesus Christ, and he invites us to put him first, to worship him first. But there's another part of the text. God yearns not only for our love for him, but for our love for others. He said, the second commandment is just like the first. You should love your neighbor as yourself. We as Lutherans are real strong in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But we forget verse 10. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's our game plan. That's our plan for life that the Lord gives to us. He died for all, St. Paul says, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. So it's about response. It's about response as we show God's love to others. There's a connection between faith and life. And sometimes we in our lives fail to see that. Those of us caught up in academia hide behind scholarship and study and the celebration of tradition and even liturgical practices rather than reaching out to the poor, to those in our society who are victims, to those who are persecuted because of their race, because of their economic background, because of their social standing. Those who are hungry for the real message of the gospel are often forgotten. We want to put our pleasure and our comfort before the needs of others. We're not concerned. We isolate and insulate ourselves from those who are in physical or emotional and especially spiritual need. You see, we fail to keep the second commandment. Just like we so often say of the Pharisees in Jesus' day. But Jesus comes to us and is the means and the model for loving our neighbor. Christ died on the cross for all people. We say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's love is for everyone. That's a given. God's love is for you and me. Jesus reached out to the prostitutes and tax collectors of his day. And Jesus reaches out today to the drug addicts, the homeless, the single parents, the hungry, the love-starved children who live in the city. He invites us to do the same. He reaches out to us. He forgives us. And he empowers us by his Holy Spirit to live as his people, reaching out with his love to others. We love, John says, because he first loved us. God's love comes to us through Jesus' cross, just like the little children said. And Jesus takes that love and says, love God as a response first, and love others. The two are inseparable. Today we thank God for the expressions of love that come to this seminary community and also to the church at large through the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League and also the Seminary Guild. These ladies give of their time and treasure and spend time in prayer for you as students and for this institution and for the ministry that God gives to us in the church at large. We praise God and we thank God for their ministry today. And as we look at this text too, we pray for forgiveness and a renewed commitment to serving the Lord first in our lives as we serve others, as we meet the physical, emotional, and especially spiritual needs of those around us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.